Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. I'm here with my two compadres, Samuel and Mr. Chisholm. We are here. Sam Chiz is actually in both shots tonight. We had a little bit of problem setting up, as is kind of norm now. So we're 40 minutes late, which is grand. I've had to use a backup camera tonight, so I'm looking a bit rubbish. Those guys are actually looking quite nice. And Chiz is on both cameras.
Moist mouth? My mouth is extra wet tonight.
That's lovely. Cool. Okay, we've got lots of stuff to talk about, but I first want to just mention Daniel Luck. He put a message in Google Plus probably best part of 2 months ago now, and I just came across it about 4 weeks ago, and we've not had a show since then. Because, of course, we were at EGX, then we did the Alien Isolation video the last time. Which, by the way, thank you very much for watching. We have had a huge bump in numbers with people watching the Alien Isolation video. So if you... Oh, I forgot to tell you that. Yeah, sorry.
You didn't tell us anything about
that. Sorry. Yeah. So if you were one of those people who have never seen the actual show before, and you're just here because of Alien Isolation, welcome. If the rest
I'm
of you...
terribly sorry.
Alien Isolation actually was one of our high points.
From now on.
We were supposed to be playing the Amazon Fire TV, were we not?
Yeah, I know. We got some new kit here tonight to play with the Amazon Fire. We were going to play games in the Amazon Fire TV, do a bit of review of that, kind of in the same vein as we did Alien Isolation, and we couldn't get it working. That's why we're
sorry,
late.
We?
I couldn't get working. I got it working last night. It was working last night. Anyway, we're here.
Paul's baby ate the remote control as well.
Yeah. The remote control's bust. It's look, it's almost invisible. That's cool.
Oh. It's black. How is it invisible?
I don't understand that. It's see-through. That's pretty cool.
So that's how it comes. It's really impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a little microphone in the top here.
Yeah.
If you can see that in there. Anyway, Daniel Luck, Google Plus. I'm just going to read out your message, Daniel, first of all. I recently listened to this past week's podcast, Mr. Scampi. That's how long ago this message was left at Google Plus.
I don't know which one that is.
It was a while ago, that one. Listen to this week's past show. Mr. Scampi, I liked your idea of having viewers, listeners pick the review, so that must have been the episode that we talked about that. I'd like to suggest Shadowblade by Crescent Moon Games. The game is available on Google Play and iOS for $1.99. GameStick and Mac App Store for $4.99. Here's my short description. Shadowblade is a nice retro platformer available for iOS, iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Mac OS X, or 10, 10.6.6 and higher, Google Play and GameStick I've purchased for iOS, Mac OS 10 and GameStick. On iOS, the game uses touch control, gesture and virtual controls, and Mac OS, the game uses a keyboard. On GameStick, it uses controller and supports 1080p TV screen. What's GameStick? Anyway.
My God, that was informative.
On all platforms...
We think Daniel Luck works for this developer.
On all platforms,
we don't have any problem with that, Daniel.
The controls are fluid and animations are smooth. Music and sound effects are great.
Although,
highly recommended.
If he does, why is he making us pay for it?
Yeah. Give us
if,
some previews.
If you want to haul your product, we're totally willing to do it. Just don't lie about it. Just tell us.
We don't know.
Well, we'll do
lying
it anyway.
About it.
We'll do it anyway. And we've just proved it.
Unlike Twitch, Sam will get his nipples out for years of it.
I totally will.
So this is Shadow Moon. It's by a developer called Daniel Luck Games. Oh, well, there you go. No, it's not. I'm joking. No. It's £1.99 in the UK. Thank you very
Two
much,
sets
Daniel.
Two patronising laughs.
I can't actually see who makes it. Category Games.
It's by Crescent Moon Games.
Crescent Moon. Oh, he did mention that,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, it's at the very top. Yeah. It's Shadow Blade, not Shadow Moon.
That's the laugh I do when, like, I reveal the murderer in a Poirot-esque manner.
Right. How often does that happen?
I've done it a couple of times.
Yeah? Just hang around crime scenes. It's him!
Indeed. So we're going to push straight on in and talk about...
That was a good face.
So we're going to push straight on and talk about how Nintendo have revealed plans for quality of life technology. Are you excited about this, Sam?
Yeah.
So how are Nintendo going to improve Sam's quality of life?
So basically what they're doing is...
Penis transplant.
No, I like the first one. Penis tramp.
Penis tramp.
Penis tramp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a penis tramp.
The rest of him's home, it's just his penis is homeless.
Just wander in the road like the littlest hobo.
No, No, what they are doing is they've decided, I'm going to open the window, it's getting a bit warm in here.
Better boo.
Penis
came up behind you.
I prefer the Incredible Hulk music.
What's that?
Is that the one where he's walking away down the road?
How's that go again?
I don't know.
Sam, go.
I don't know. I said, what's that then? You can't turn to me and then say, Sam, go.
Oh dear. Okay, anyway, Nintendo are making a sleep and fatigue sensor. It's a non-contact sensor that sits by your bedside and tracks your body movements, breathing,
is this
and heartbeat.
What this is?
Yeah. So they talked about it in an earnings call last week. Body movements, breathing, and heartbeat. It uploads to the cloud for analysis and gives a visual indication of your sleep condition and fatigue status. I'm sure we're possibly going to find out.
Do you know what, though? I'm asleep. How am I going to look at a visual interpretation of my sleep process?
Well, I'm assuming that it's...
Someone else sits up all night.
Yeah, and sits...
My penis tramp sits up all night watching my sleep monitor.
What would the image be if you... in your sleep, wank.
you'd be very active in your sleep.
Or have a wet dream. You wake up to a visual thing. What's Nintendo, like Mario with wet pants?
Well, Dr. Mario's got to come into this somewhere. That would be my assumption, anyway. Let's see if we can get a better video. Is that any better? Do you think? Well, hang on, we'll see if we can get this. Oh, probably a bit too much. You can actually read that one. Here we go. This is a better version of it. Here we go. So, visual sleep and fatigue by 5 non-sensing automatic measures. Why would you not want it non-sensing? Surely you want it sensing. Anyway, a QOL sensor, which just looks like a Raspberry Pi. Non-contact radio frequency sensor, which then, I don't know.
This totally sounds like...
Boomerangs over you? I don't know.
Snake oil salesman. It's just, it's a non-sensor. It's like, did you see the thing about the fake bomb detectors?
The fake bomb detectors? Yeah. As in they detected fake
bombs?
Yeah,
the guy was like totally done for it. He'd been selling them off to like
airports,
Afghanistan and all kinds of crazy places. And it was just like a stick with a rod in the middle of it. It kind of sounds like that.
A stick with a rod in the middle?
Well, like a tube with a rod in the middle of it.
Not like a rod with a stick in the middle of it.
No, it's totally different. How's that going to find bombs?
Apparently it's non-wearable, non-contact, non-operating, so it doesn't function, non-waiting, and non-installation efforts. That sounds like it was definitely written with somebody with English as a first language. I don't know. I kind of think that.
Can we move on now?
I have no idea what the heck that is,
and neither do they, by the looks of things.
Yeah. The next thing that we were going to talk about is Facebook and Oculus Rift. So we know that Facebook, of course, bought Oculus Rift back in March for $2 billion. And they're saying now it needs to reach very large scale, 50 million to 100 million units, before it can really be a very meaningful thing as a computing platform.
If it wants to be relevant, apparently, or something, isn't it?
But they're also going to say things like they're suggesting it's going to break out from a limited gaming space as well. So I don't know. What do you reckon? What are they going to do with it?
I don't know.
Right? Okay.
The folk people are already using it for that. But the only thing I want one for is gaming. I don't know what other stuff you could do that would interest me.
Move on.
Yeah, but it's like, what's Facebook wanting to use it for?
Well, I mean, they've
got ideas for it.
Spread
like a surround sound friendships.
But remember that they've got like
it's to complete their virtual world of friendship. So you can just pretend, like kind of like you do with your gamer friends, you can just pretend that you're surrounded by real people and pretend to have meaningful interactions with them. So you never have to leave your house again.
Everyone's in Oculus Rift and they're on Facebook, but they're in like a room.
Yeah, just staring at each other.
Yeah, but remember Facebook also, they own like Instagram and stuff like that.
Imagine Friends Roulette on that.
Chat roulette.
I was just penis coming up my face.
My eye!
You've had a shot of
of her, yeah.
Oh, she is.
I don't
What's
know where
that
this,
from?
I have no idea. I did a search for.
Is that what your avatars and Facebook are going to look like?
I did a search for.
Why have you got
Oculus
pictures
Rift?
Of my mum on your computer?
I did a search for Oculus Rift, and this is what came up. I don't know.
Hello.
I'm assuming it's one of the games that comes with Oculus Rift. I'm not really sure.
The €5 for the reach around. Shh, the cops are coming.
Just kiss me now.
So what do you reckon they're going to do? In all seriousness, what do you reckon Facebook's going to try to do?
I am incognito.
No idea.
No one shall suspect I am your whore. Anyway.
No idea whatsoever.
What was your question?
I said, what do you think Facebook is going to do with this?
That's what I asked before. I don't know.
But no, you've just given us nonsense porn stuff. So here's Mark Zuckerberg pointing at a giant-sized Oculus Rift.
I don't know. If anything, Facebook's boy helped this be developed because the costs of it are apparently higher than what they originally thought it was going to be. So if Facebook's money is going to actually help it get to market, that's a good thing. But as long as it remains Game Central.
Can you really see a market in it for
I think he's going to use it in some manner to take over the world. He strikes me as that kind of guy.
As in Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Do you not think he'll have us controlling drones or something, and we don't even know it?
It's possible, I guess.
Yeah. Telling you, that's what he's doing.
Okay.
But anyway, so this is the first. Moving on. I'm bored now.
Okay. Right.
We've done some pretty tedious stuff so far tonight.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll do the next one.
Where's the games?
GTA San Andreas has come to the Xbox 360.
It's the mobile version, apparently.
Yeah. So apparently, Digital Foundry did some digging about into this, and the game that came out on the 360 supports 720p resolution and achievements, which is quite a big deal. But Digital Foundry found that it's just an Android port. Basically, there's a lot of things that weren't actually in the original game that are only in the Android port that are in this, and there's some things actually that were in the original game and were missed out of the Android port that are not in this.
Yeah.
A better draw distance than the one in Google's mobile OS. That's the only kind of big thing. This is a bit disappointing, this. I saw this and was quite interested in it because it's one of the few Grand Theft Auto games that I never complete.
Although, it does... The only good thing is it means this Android version is now playable because you can actually use a controller.
That makes sense.
And it also means for the same price you'd probably pay for an Android and get on your 360, play it through your surround sound and a big screen and with a controller. But and $2.99, it's not too bad. But yeah, maybe slightly disappointing that it's not a total remake. It's just it's just the Android version or the phone version that they've just ported over. It would have been quite cool if it was a proper sort of HD remaster for the 360.
It's
not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It would have been a nice... they were never going to spend that kind of money doing it, I don't think. But I at least expected more than just an Android port.
Yeah.
Did you not?
Yeah, when I first heard the news, I thought, oh, cool. And then it leaked. It was that, and you know, I found that a bit disappointing. I'm still quite tempted to pick it up, but... To be honest, with Grand Theft Auto 5 coming out on Xbox One in a couple of weeks, I'll probably not. But at $2.99...
The only thing that
for the price of a pint, you could pick it up and have a mess
true.
With it.
That's true. The only thing that bugged me about this one was the you had to go to the gym and all that kind of stuff. That was all tedious.
Yeah, and if you didn't go to the gym, your guy would lose strength and things like that, and you needed to eat to keep his stamina up and crap like that. That's one thing I didn't like. There was too much of a management thing to it.
It's a bit Sims.
Yeah. Was this the one that had the bicycle though?
Yeah.
Cycle.
No, that was this one. Saw it on the clip.
They introduced bikes and a proper sort of RPG element to your driving and whatnot. So the more you drove, the better your guy got on a bike or whatnot, and the same with jets and things like that. So the more you did something, the better you got at it. Same with the guns as well, I think.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but
it's still a cracking game.
Yeah, we'll live with it, I guess. I've lost my mouse. I don't know where my mouse is. How am I going to change shots?
So,
that's a bit of a quick cut there. Did you guys have a look at the Xbox One laptop?
I've seen one lately. I saw this a while back, but I saw one not long ago. Someone's done the same thing, but they put the 360 and Xbox One into the same.
That's quite cool.
Yeah.
So, but basically, with this guy, I'm assuming his name's Ed. It's because it's the URL's edsjunk.net. And basically what he's done is he's taken a laptop and he's slapped on quite a decent monitor. I seem to remember reading somewhere it was like a 21-inch or LED monitor, 22-inch LED monitor, yeah. And it's the guts of a Xbox One. that he's slammed inside here, so you can actually do your gaming on the move. Yeah. And he's made quite a bit of an effort here.
Has he managed to get the Kinect in as well? Or
I don't believe so, no. I have to admit, I only read half the article because it was boring me. There's a lot of text there.
Yeah. I think he is doing... you can actually order, like I think you buy an Xbox One and send it to him, or he'll, if you place an order, he'll get an Xbox One, do it for you and send it out to you. And it costs like £1,000 or whatever.
It was $700.
Right, sorry, there we are. Is that one and a half? With Kinect or without, so it's, yeah, there we go. It basically goes from a grand up to a grand and a half, depending on what you're
And he will charge you a grand if you send him an Xbox One for him to smash up.
Yeah.
See, when you, there's a button down the bottom here. It's a deposit. Right, see, I didn't read this far down. I scrolled right down the bottom and hit buy now to see what happened. And it tried to charge my PayPal account $700.
What did you think you were buying?
I didn't know. I just thought, I see PayPal buy now, so just go. That's how I end up with half the crap in my house. Oh,
this button brings me joy.
This looks like a cool idea.
It's going to come through the post this week.
Yeah. I like this. If it wasn't for the fact he's in the States and there's the whole kind of shipping thing, and also the fact that it's £1,500.
It looks quite bulky. It's quite a cool thing he's done, but I still think you have to be a bit mental.
When I win the lottery, I might have one.
That's pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
I'm not knocking it at all.
His technical expertise to do that is really impressive, but I still think you're mental if you buy it.
So we got Final Fantasy 7,324 has arrived with us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I actually had to look up the Roman numerals. My Roman numerals only go so high. So it's 15 we're up to.
So that's an ad. Sorry, I was playing an ad there. I'm not giving them any space on our network.
Yeah.
Wait till it skips over the ad.
Agra advert on YouTube.
So this is 15, Final Fantasy 15. It's a Square Enix has shown off some footage. It's a 10-minute gameplay demo. The game's going to be out March 2015 on PS4 and Xbox One. Final Fantasy 4. It's also going to bring Final Fantasy Type 0 HD at the same time. Get rid of that! Go away!
You should have set the videos up beforehand. I keep telling you this.
I did set the video up beforehand. I had a link there and everything. I clicked on it.
But why was it advert?
It doesn't matter.
It
looks pretty boring so far.
Yeah, but it's
he's driving along in sort of an Audi looking thing.
Yeah, but there's a lot of like they're kind of talking over telling you stuff, but it's in Japanese, which is not helpful to us.
Are they driving the car in this one?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
It's open world Final Fantasy. I think it does look really cool, but the only thing I've fallen. Whoa.
Why? There we go.
Oh, why are you doing this?
So we could hear ourselves.
Is that? Yeah. Oh.
Why?
Yep.
That's just Japanese kind of playing over the top of it. That's good.
But it looks impressive, but my problem with Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy I really enjoyed was Final Fantasy VIII, and then the PS2, which was Final Fantasy X, I think. Since then, I've not enjoyed what they've been done, the story, and the main characters have went to.
I don't think I played it since mangish. Like 4 or something.
I don't even remember. I definitely played 1, but I really didn't enjoy it very much because it's all like turn-based battles and everything. Yeah.
Although they've evolved the combat since then, but I really enjoyed 7 and 8. And then it went kind of, after that, it kind of went downhill for me.
10. Oh, those are animals. I thought they were rocks.
13 was terrible.
Oh, the huge ones at the back there. Oh,
Mr. Snuffleupagus is coming after him.
I think the whole animal thing and the size of the world looks really impressive.
Yeah.
They're pretty crazy looking.
But it's just
like
a shame
that
you have to play an irritating teenage manga git.
The last one I played was there was a boy with... Oh, the big thing just squashed a smaller big thing.
Oh, there's three of them there. Where did the third one come from?
The last one I played was one with a lad with big yellow hair and a giant sword.
That'll be Cloud. That was in Final Fantasy VII.
There we go. That's the one I played. Yeah,
that's still the best one, I think.
Oh, well. Well done, me.
Yeah.
Oh, look, that boy's knackered. He's me.
But yeah, I posted this because I thought I was quite impressed with what they're showing. Whether or not I buy it's a different thing, because Final Fantasy, usually the story it sucks you in, or it tries to suck you in or suck you off. But Final Fantasy's not had a good story since 8, I think. Even 10, which I vaguely enjoyed.
It's all in Japanese as well.
But it's Tyrus was the really irritating main character you played, that you had to play as. And they've all been kind of, since Cloud, they've been terrible main characters and just annoying kids, basically, you played. Hmm. But, yeah, this one looks nice, so hopefully this one will pull me back into
forest
it.
Forest monster things.
Well, adding to this show, Sam, adding to this show.
Well, I've got to get my input somehow.
Final Fantasy.
I can't walk away with my 70,000 a year check for nothing, Paul.
Oh dear, you're underpaid.
You got the patronising Paul laugh.
First one of the
There's another one.
First one on the show.
Just throwing another one in there for you. That's it. Announced in 2011.
At least
Prey
it
2.
Wasn't the oh god, I can't believe you just said that laugh.
Mm.
Yes, anyway. In 2011, Prey 2 was announced as an open-world game which players would bounty hunt aliens. Who is doing that?
Sam's foot.
I'm really not meaning to.
But apparently, according to CNET, it's all over. Bethesda has said that they never saw a path to success if they finished it. It was a game we believed in, but we never felt that it got to where it needed to be. We never saw a path to success if we finished it.
Yeah, there was a falling out between the developer and Bethesda, was there not, like a year back that we talked about with Human Head, and it was Bethesda, and we did kind of fear Prey 2 was going to die, because it was one of the things, when we first saw it, I thought it'd be fantastic, the idea of basically being like a Boba Fett-esque sort of bounty hunter hunting down aliens in an open world sounded fantastic, and for what the screenshots they showed, I don't actually showed any proper in-game footage, but they showed off a CG trailer, which looked nice, but still it's a CG trailer. But everything looked promising until we heard Bethesda and Human Head were arguing about something, and then this kind of got paused. It kind of got stalled in development, and now it sounds like it's been totally canned. It's been totally canned, which we feared.
But this and what was the Star Wars one?
Level 1330 something.
1313.
Order. Level 13. Yeah.
Level.
It was just 1313, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, I thought it was level 1313.
No, I think it was just 1313.
Okay. Well,
we get this wrong every time.
Doesn't really matter, but both of those games to me sounded as if they were relatively similar.
Yeah.
Both had huge promise for me.
Yeah.
And although, both of them got canned.
Yeah. I was like,
did a swear, Paul.
Yeah, I know. I've got no idea how to tell where that is.
Now, just now, I'll wave.
I can't even see where
and
a timer
when you
is
go then. Through, if you see me waving, I did a swear.
We'll do a dance. This is a
dance. Swear! Cheers, did one!
I don't know how to measure that. Okay.
Rub my nipples. Right down here.
We're almost got a view there. That's good. That's good.
I see the wood loose into living in your belly button still alive.
Frankie.
Yep.
Only because he's vicious.
And his wife Boyle.
Anyway, back to the ranch.
But with the Star Wars game, I'm not overly fussed about it, because it did kind of look like Uncharted in space. If it was just going to play it like Uncharted, then it wouldn't have been.
I just wanted a cool, dark
Star Wars game.
Yeah. And a bounty hunter type thing would have been sweet.
Yeah.
As would have that. So that's another massive disappointment.
Although we
Cheers.
Do hopefully have a good Star Wars game coming out next Christmas or
What's
holiday.
That?
Battlefront.
Oh yeah.
But,
okay.
But hopefully really DICE will do a better job of what they did with Battlefield 4 with it. And it actually works at launch and months afterwards.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. Battlefield 4 seems to work now, but you know, that's about a year after release. Moving on. You have my permission.
Cars are happening.
Yep. Cars are happening, so I'm just trying to get the video right.
I don't think you should have that one on.
Really?
Yeah,
we're advertising Audi.
Oh, right, okay, hang on, I'll move it across the screen a little bit. It's fine.
Audi!
We've got an animal. There we go. Dead now.
An animal.
Oh, noises.
Anyway, so Sony has identified postponed... I'll start that again. Sony has indefinitely postponed the undelayed PlayStation Plus edition of... So basically, the PlayStation Plus edition of Drive Club has been postponed indefinitely. So Drive Club got released on October the 7th this year, and it's been beset by problems since it released, server problems and all sorts of other things, people not being able to log on or anything like that. Apparently, they've now fixed But, okay, I'm going to have to try this one. It's Shuhushi Yoshida.
He's not too bad with that one, I think. I'll give him that.
Said on Thursday.
It wasn't John Smith, so it wasn't quite as hard.
There's no PS Plus version until all problems are resolved once and for all. And there's also potential for some possible compensation for owners as well. Mm. So people who have bought the game. You didn't buy this, did you?
No, I didn't, but no. I heard that it's been plagued with its problems since its launch. Basically, the whole online feature of it, like race online and your times, and even like comparing like your lap times with people, was totally broken at launch. And people who bought the digital, what the hell have you? Seriously,
why have you done that?
You googled nipple, and were you surprised what's appeared?
Carry on.
Oh no!
Why are you doing this?
That could actually be your nipple.
Dear.
But even people who had the digital download, the game was totally broken for them, and there was supposed to be if you had a PlayStation Plus account, you got like a free version of it. It wasn't like the full fat version of Drive Club. It was like a short. Anyway, you know, I'm trying to carry on and be professional here. Yeah, there was a PlayStation Plus version that people who had PlayStation Plus were supposed to have gotten, but it's been, obviously, as I said, they've said it's been delayed because basically it's been a massive broken mess at failure, which is not kind of going well. And I mean, it said when the game was delayed a year anyway, the fact that they've still messed up the launch of it a year later kind of shows Drive Club has had quite a rocky sort of development path. But
do we know what form of compensation there?
I'm assuming there'll be some sort of financial compensation.
They've not announced anything, as far as I'm aware.
Stop it, Paul. I don't know what I was going to say.
It's Drive Club. It's been messed up. Carry on. Oh, okay. Paul wants to happen. No show worries. Show everybody what he's found on the internet.
So like, what I found. So, Twitch has updated its terms of service and effectively banned Sam's nipple. The updated terms of use suggest that sexually suggestive clothing is no longer allowed while you're streaming, if you're going to be kind of in the lower third of the screen or something like that. Apparently, you have to dress appropriately, and this is a quote from the terms of services: "Nerds are sexy. And you're all magnificent, beautiful creatures, but let's try and keep this all about games, shall we? Wearing no clothes or sexually suggestive clothing, including..." What are you doing?
We're showing we're not Twitch.
Oh dear, yeah, just to prove we're not Twitch, here's a naked Sam. Bum, 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 bum,
bum. And
gone. I was not expecting this at all. Gotcha is combing Sam's chest here now. Oh, this is awesome. It's also with an invisible comb as well, which is quite cool. That's pretty awesome.
That didn't taste very nice. It's pretty awful. Let's change away now.
See, there's absolutely no nipples there, so we're just going to move back over here. So, wearing no clothing or sexually suggestive clothing, including lingerie, swimsuits, pasties?
Totally would off.
That's supposed to be panties, I think. And undergarments is prohibited, as well as any full nude torsos, which apply to both males and female broadcasters.
On several occasions, I have worn both lingerie and pasties at the same time. Just so you know.
If it's unbelievably hot where you are,
and not in the order
you'd
imagine,
your shirt off or a bikini top on, then just crop the webcam to your face. Problem solved. So there you go, Twitch.
You miserable gob.
I don't even know where to find these. Right.
Twat dance.
Oh dear. Okay. Anyway.
Right.
Is she going to get in the bikini?
Sorry, we're just looking at the Twitch website now.
Oh, no. Right. Okay. Now I've made a chauvinist comment. I'm just going to quickly say.
I'm going to Gamergate now.
Yeah.
Right? I was just about to say.
Gamergate.
That's how you do a segue.
Yep,
you just lost the screen.
Oh, well. Lost the screen. So I'm a gaming feminist.
Yeah.
Totally down with it. Anyone, I'm not going to go into it too much, but anyone who does the stuff that is in the news at the moment and threatens people for being alive.
Viewing their opinion, which...
Yeah.
Which is nothing wrong with their opinion, it's just their opinion, even if you disagree with it. So if you're going to view your opinion in a way that is aggressive and threatening, then don't be surprised when you're treated like the teenage snowbend that you are.
You're giving us bad names, guys. Just go back to your little cave and...
Yeah. Hopefully,
shrivel.
Hopefully it's just a vocal minority, and there's people who don't agree with... It's like, fair enough, you don't have to agree with them. What's her name? Anita Scorsese or something like
that. This lady here, this lady that we're showing right now.
It's like, you don't have to agree with her opinion, but view your disagreement in a more critical and friendly manner, or like debate it rather than ape-fish your keyboard. Like.
Yeah, put up an actual argument as opposed to threatening someone with violence. That's an imbecilic way forward. And do you know what? I actually agree with that. I mean, I'm not technically against it, but really, because I'm a perv, and I quite enjoy the female body, and who doesn't? But women are portrayed really badly in games.
Yeah, it's like, I think I've...
Really, read, really badly.
I've viewed a few things that she's done. Has been... certain games, I think, they kind of need to grow up and do it better. Like, there's Metal Gear Solid, which I love, but... Hideo Kojima is a bit pervy in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some games...
Prime
that she
examples right there.
There's some games that she highlights which I don't quite agree with and whatnot, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, but in general, I think if you're writing an adult game, it's about time you wrote it in an adult manner, which didn't bait off to like to its teenage boys if you're trying to aim for a more adult viewing audience. Gaming audience.
Like, totally down with that. It's just absolutely ridiculous, and it makes me pretty angry. But.
You actually sent out some death threats about it, didn't you?
Wow. Wow. Way to ruin it. No, women are portrayed pretty badly in gaming, and maybe we should do something about that. Maybe we should all grow up a little bit. Although, to me, to a certain extent, gaming is about not growing up, but hey-ho. I generally totally agree with everything they're saying. And those guys should really just go back to their mother's basement, I would presume.
Indeed. I just need to apologise. We hung there for a wee second. I just got a message through from the chat room to say that it's hung. It doesn't look like it's started back up again in the live stream, but the problem has been fixed at this end. It's just maybe because there's quite a bit of a delay, so hopefully it'll burst back in.
It's all right. It wasn't worth listening to. It was just me talking.
Also, Russell in the chat room says, why did you have to show that? Which I assume was the full screen nipple. Apologies, but...
Well, me. Naked, possibly.
That's possible, actually. Could be either way.
Just so you know, while in Paul's house, we only wear tops. There is nothing on below, so I was totally stark bollock.
And everybody believes that, so...
He has a semi.
No, that's just the standard.
You wouldn't be able to see it.
It's kind of crooked.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a soggy branch.
Twig.
So we've lost the live stream, but is this recording to still?
It's recording, it's all okay. Right. Oh, so yeah, no, we're back.
We're back.
Good. You. We've actually been back for you guys for probably the last 5 minutes, but that's us just noticed that it's back on the screen, so...
Continue.
We can continue, yes we can. So,
we can edit all this out.
Indeed. So, Sam, what have you been playing this week, my knuckle-headed friend?
Whatever I put in the thing. What did I put in the thing? Wasteland.
Yes, you did.
Wow, that was like... To be fair, I put all this in.
Total War.
No, that's the preview. So you asked me what I was playing this week.
Ah, balls. So right, preview. What's your preview this week?
Well, it's kind of a bit dated now, but I was going to talk about Attila Total War, which I think looks phenomenal. I actually put some notes in there to remind me of things to say.
I was wondering what was going on.
Well, they've got some quite interesting kind of new little elements to it that Paul's just taken away, so I can't read it anymore. Thanks, Paul.
The Siege of Londinium.
If you know, can I see the things that I wanted to talk about, please? So it's basically Barbarian Invasion, which was an add-on to the original Total War. Funnily enough, it's about barbarians invading, as is Attila Total War. It's probably going to be a Napoleon-esque kind of standalone, I'm guessing, but we'll have to see about that. There's a big thing about kind of Seven Seals of the Apocalypse, which is a totally biblical thing, but so there's going to be different events that kind of move you throughout the game, kind of push forward the impetus. The first, I believe, being the birth of Attila, and then probably the second being kind of his move into manhood, and then third, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so that's going to be quite interesting. Back again, Paul, because I can't remember anything. Because I put this up like 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah, it's set very during pretty. A mini... it was actually gorgeous. Set during a mini ice age, so the actual weather... Stop moving it.
Sorry, I thought you just need these as starter points.
No, I just want them. I just want them all. Just leave them there.
People want to see the game.
Well, they can see it in a minute, and I'll talk over it and ruin it for them.
Just ruining it.
That's my job. Isn't that what I do on the show? Yeah, just kind of moan, gripe, talk about Total War, and then get slagged off.
Bring the show down.
Yeah.
Talk sort of professional if it wasn't for you.
Yeah, pretty well, no, let's face it. So there's a mini ice age, so the weather is actually pushing the barbarians down from the north, so they have to move down to get away from the ice age, or they're going to starve. So they're going to be kind of invading the southern, more sophisticated lands. That's going to push things forward. Yeah, it is actually beautiful.
So
there's this wonderful...
copying the plot of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Can
that's,
I move yet?
That's
can we show the video?
The way around it was. Is that the last thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really, really, really attractive.
It does look very pretty.
I mean, Rome's pretty beautiful as it is, but this is even more so. And there's this kind of real sense of... At some point, I'm sure we'll get an image of the actual town, or Paul can shunt it forward a little bit.
Yeah, let's see if I can shunt it forward.
So this is the actual kind of level that I played during the game.
Yeah, it looks like a
town. And the towns are kind of semi... They all look like they're in a downward spiral. Like, they're not in top quality anymore. It looks like a people who are living in the glory of the past. And I freaking love that. It's like post-apocalyptic history. So, yeah.
Very nice.
It's just fantastic. I actually loved that game, and I'm really hyped up for it. So there you go. That was my preview.
Very good. Okay.
What's your thing?
Cheers. What's yours?
Actually, one of my...
You actually know, Paul. You just hyped it in. I just watched you do it.
Star Wars Battlefront. Because...
Is it three?
It's just called Battlefront, I think.
Okay.
It's apparently out, Holiday 2015, which I think in our terms will be around about Christmas
Holiday.
Time. Which I'm looking forward to, but at the same time kind of hesitant now because of the screw-up that was Battlefield 4. But hopefully they'll learn their lessons and get this right. But basically, a return, hopefully... Well, I knew, because I loved Battlefront 1 and 2. It was great fun. Hopefully we'll get a full-scale, massive war in the Star Wars universe, but Battlefield-esque, but
well, the old
better.
One was really good.
Yeah.
We played quite a lot of that.
Mm. And they've said it's first-person, but I remember Battlefront 1 and 2 gave the option to play in first or third-person. Mm-hmm. And I hope they keep that option or introduce a third-person as well, because it was quite fun... Having been able to do that.
Plus, it'd be nice for Chris to be able to play it.
Yeah. But apart from that, there's not much other. They showed, like I said, what we're watching just now. They showed, you saw bits and pieces in that video, but there's nothing proper in game. They just show like what they were developing and whatnot. So it's a while yet till we actually see something. I presume E3. Well, if it's out next year, we'll see something at E3.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time. Erring on the caution side as well.
What's
not
the snow planet
high.
Called again?
Hoth.
Hoth. There's a lot of focus on the snow planet, I notice.
It's just... they do, like... it's just a promotional video.
I'm guessing it's kind of one of people's favourites anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It was in the start of Emperor Strikes Back, which is the best Star Wars film. So, Hoth gets used a lot, and not just with this game, tons of stuff.
I like the first one.
As in A New Hope, you mean?
No, Phantom Menace. I'm joking, obviously. Cool. This does look quite good. I quite liked the Battlefront game. It was in the original Xbox. It was quite a nice little sort of skirmishy type game. Was there an actual story to that game? I just remember playing the kind of skirmish.
Not really,
missions.
No. It was just kind of like a... No, not really.
You don't really need one for that, though. You know what's happening.
Yeah.
You bought it because you're a geeky little freak boy. So, oh, girl. Sorry. Yep. Feminism. Right. Take back the nice, nice sister.
So
everyone do your ovary exercises.
That is the type of comment that is ruining my cred.
My preview this week is Assassin's Creed Unity. This is a new gameplay trailer that's been released. And basically what it shows is, as we know, Unity is set during the French Revolution. And this gameplay trailer starts off in France during the French Revolution, and it seems to be some sort of time anomaly is chasing our hero Arno through, and he appears during World War II France, which is quite cool. So you get all kind of modern things, so obviously you've seen a train there and everything. He climbs the Eiffel Tower, and then in a second he'll be, there we go, he's starting to get attacked by some warplanes during World War II.
Describing what we're seeing here.
I'm describing it just a second before, so it proves that I have actually watched it.
I'm quite worried about this game, because they've not really had much hands-on with it, and it's out in 2 weeks, less than a week?
Mm-hmm. 14th of November, yeah, next week, yeah.
A week and a bit. And from the only journalists I've read that have had hands-on, which was like less than a month ago, apparently it was quite... the game was a little bit broken, and it was impressive, it looked great, but there was a lot of bugs, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I suspect the game's going to be a bit broken when it launches, because I've not seen or heard of many hands-on with it at all this close to launch. So I probably recommend people don't buy it at launch and wait off to see the reviews.
Yeah, I'm quite interested in it. I don't know, I've been burned quite a lot of times by Assassin's Creed. I enjoyed the last one, so I'm kind of hoping that this one does actually do something. And having that new kind of more modern element in it, I think could be quite interesting. So we'll see what happens there.
The voice kind of had certain elements, not like bits where you jumped into World War II, but bits where you jumped back into...
Sure, like present day. Yeah.
Their future. Well, their present day, but our future. So, yeah. But anyway.
So, Sam, what have you been playing this week, my knuckleheaded friend?
This.
You've said that twice now.
Just this here. Just click on it.
Wasteland 2.
That.
So I'm doing this to try and be a little bit more professional, and you just kind of going, that isn't really helping anybody.
That's like stuff that you do, and you click on stuff, and that's character creation, which is quite interesting. You can either select one of the pre-made characters or create your own.
Did you create your own?
I created one, because you have four characters.
Right,
so you kind of have to specialise.
It's like a squad you got.
There's different... Yeah, it's a squad-based thing. So it's like Fallout 2, if you remember that, or played it. Or something like...
With the humour?
Yeah, actually.
Very important.
Post-apocalyptic kind of Baldur's Gate, maybe, for those who didn't play Fallout 2. Baldur's Gate's also quite big. Maybe you've seen that. I don't know. And you've got, like, different skills. So there's, like, electronics, trap disarming, survival skills, which is quite important because you're in a desert, so you need to be able to find water and also avoid enemies while travelling the map.
I'm going to skip this forward. This bit here's a bit mince.
The character you created, what did he look like? What was his backstory? What was his name?
There's not that many pictures, although you can import pictures, Sam, but I'm too lazy.
Gumpton.
So I created a sniper who was good at fixing machines and...
Basically stuff you want to be good at.
A little bit of first aid. So I had my guy who did that. There's a doctor, pre-made doctor character in it called Pills. I took Pills. There's a lass who focuses on technology. And what was the last one? Someone else. I totally can't remember at all. All my characters are still alive. I was playing it just the other day and I can't remember the last one. But
so it's like if you lose a character, they're gone forever and you have to make another one or bring in another one?
They're dead, yeah. So you can pick up people as you go around. Right. You can have a group of up to six people, I think. Is it six or is it eight?
Have you had to turn people away?
I have turned people away.
It looks like there's enough room there for six.
Yeah, so have six people.
A vetting process or like a interview? No, so you're not
I really like the characters I've got now, so everyone else can sod off. But basically, once you've got a team that can do all the stuff you want to do, so I was listing all the skills before. So there's also, well, obviously there's your kind of weapon skills like melee, futuristic type weapons. Machine guns, assault rifles, sniper, loads of different weapons. So you want a kind of broad spectrum on that. But the main things you really want to cover are your skills, including kind of talking skills. So you can either be a hard ass, smart ass, and make kind of smart comments, or a kiss ass. Three ass.
If you choose one of them, does that just limit what options you get to?
Adds on to the conversational skills.
Or is it like this, you'll say the same thing but in a different manner?
No.
So, excuse me, where's the toilet? Where's the toilet, asshole?
If you've got the skills, then it gives you additional options to ask questions, questions. Right. If you don't have the skill, you can't do it. Sorry?
Nothing. I was making a Napoleon Dynamite joke.
Okay. Well, that was film, so don't.
Just shut the
Pretty much.
I know how to like that.
Well, the video's on, so... Yeah. Video at the radio tower. Anyway, so you're that's where it is in the game.
That's to listen to that bit. Yep,
video at the radio tower.
I have actually noted down radio tower.
Yeah, so the game is pretty awesome. It's really fun if you like that kind of RPG game. It is really, really funny at parts. And pretty brutal, actually. Like, within the first half an hour of playing it, you're made to choose, you're made to choose which small town is going to get wiped out.
Always go to the right one. It's where the evil one's with.
Okay. I like my right one best. It's the knobbly one.
Under certain light conditions, it looks quite dashing.
It does. Especially when I draw a little moustache on it. Within the first half hour, you're made to choose between two towns, and you don't want either of them to die. So that's pretty brutal. And whichever one you visit, you then have to go to the other one and see the devastation that's happened. And it's pretty nasty, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's... It's nice.
If we ever end up in a post-apocalyptic future, we have to like Mad Max-esque.
Yeah, which is another game I'm really looking forward to.
How you'd survive, I think what you'd do, you'd become, you have to like fix things and become a sniper. You'd become a sniper, but you'd make yourself a sofa on wheels and like electrify it, and it would take you up the top of a hill and you just start shooting people.
Yep.
And then go back down to get your beer.
I see myself as more a kind of symbiotic parasite. So just attach myself, endear myself to them greatly, and then leech from them.
Yeah. I got them, Amy. Amy's actually just dead, but just her bones are sewed into the back of your couch.
Just onto my shoulder.
Yeah. But you lost her skull, so you just got a cat skull.
Right. So anyway, that went weird.
It did. So
get a grip. Get us back together.
I've been playing Tearaway.
What's Tearaway?
Tearaway is on the Vita. It's quite a cool little game. So
what's the Vita?
The PlayStation Vita. So effectively what it is it looks like paper.
What's paper?
No, paper. As in physical paper.
That's rude.
Do you have little hands or big hands?
It looks rude.
No, so it's basically...
You need to drop your right testicle.
So this is the beginning of the game. It's quite cool the way that it interacts with you. So it all kind of looks like it's been made up of paper. I'm going to skip forward a bit here until we can actually get into the gameplay.
This is actually a game I was wanting to borrow from you when I was going to Sorrento, but I couldn't risk coming here and getting chicken
baby
pox.
Flu.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. So you just control the character. He's kind of looks like he's made of paper, but then eventually you actually interact with the touch area in the back. So that's your finger kind of running across the touch area in the back.
Yeah, you didn't use your finger.
It's quite cool. There's quite a lot of things that you have to interact with the screen in that way. So by like poking through underside, or like dealing with the top as well, it's quite cool. So you could do all sorts of different cool And your little guy interacts as you go around. It's a fun little sort of platformery type thing. Some of these guys are quite crazy that you meet up with.
The developers who did it was Little Big Planet.
Mm. So you're able to like turn the clock round, which then activates things around it. It's quite cool. It's quite an interesting game. I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through. I've not got much left to go, based on kind of some of the things I've looked at online. Yeah, you can have a shot of it.
If you want a Vita, an essential purchase, would you say?
I would say it's different. It's different, yeah. Definitely different.
I think from all the Vita games I've seen, it's definitely the one that's piqued my interest the most.
Yeah, I mean, when I started playing it, it sort of felt a little too cutesy-poo for me, but I really got into it after a little bit. You effectively just run through the land, and you get joined by this like funny little dog-type character eventually. That he follows you about, and it's a fun little puzzle game that has quite cool interactions with the touch screen and the touchpad in the back. It's definitely worth a pick up. You probably won't have to pay that much for these.
Irritating is that the guys at it's Media Molecule are all kind of like infuriatingly, annoyingly hipster to a point where it's actually as irritating as hell. But
I can imagine
they do make quite cool games.
Chiz, what would you like to talk about? I appreciate we've not done a podcast in a while, so you've probably played every game that's ever been made.
Yeah, well, here's a choice. I can talk about Shadow of Mordor, Alien Isolation. I've completed both of them now.
Well, let's go with Shadow of Mordor, because we did Alien Isolation in the last show.
Shadow of Mordor, yep, fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Story is probably the weakest part of it. It's not all that interesting in what they're doing with it, but you know, it keeps your interest enough. But what the fun thing about it is the Nemesis system with the Orc hierarchy, and just interacting with them and doing things on there. It's funny as hell. Every Orc has a motive. Like one was just like was cutting, slicing, and laughing. That was his motive in life.
All right,
okay. One was, why does it always end just when it's getting good?
Right.
And, what was the other one? And they've all got, like, I love how any orc, you can take him, either bend him to your will, or if he kills you, he ends up working his way up through the hierarchy, either on his own, without your help at all. You can get in their way and decide which one sort of becomes the war chief, make sure he works for you, or not even work. It's quite fun taking a random orc who's got a funny name, because I had one called it was Douche.
And did you name him?
No, like they're randomly named themselves, and I made sure he became War Chief Douche. And it's just fantastic game that way. Like, can I say I've not played it for a few weeks. I've had other games, but it's a game I'll definitely jump back into just because.
What did you pick it up on?
PC.
Alright, okay.
But I'll definitely jump back into it. I've completed the main story, but it leaves you to stay dick about with the war chiefs as much as you want and whatnot, because even when you kill someone, they'll get replaced by somebody else, will just randomly appear and whatnot, because like, it's Orc Hierarchy, there's always more and more of them. And unless you control all the war chiefs in all the areas, and even all the captains at that point, then maybe it might get a bit dull, but you can just kill them all and then start again.
Alright, okay. So are you finding it is very, very similar to Assassin's Creed in the kind of the mechanic and things like that?
Yeah, the combat is... Basically, the combat is taken from Batman, and the traversal and sneaking about is from Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
And, the sort of the way the maps open up, you have to find it's your Wraith Towers. Once you go up there, it opens up that area of the map.
Similar to Assassin's Creed like that.
They've definitely ripped ideas from Assassin's Creed and Batman, but... And if it wasn't for the Nemesis system, it'd still be a solid game, but it'd be pretty forgettable. But the Nemesis, it's this system, it makes it totally worth buying.
And is this
totally
what we were watching just now, is that the guy just kind of snuck up behind one of the orcs there and kind of placed his hand on his face and some kind of shininess happened?
Yeah, that's him. He has turned that orc onto his side, so he can then take that orc, say if they're like... All the war chiefs have captains, which are their bodyguards.
Right.
For example, if you go and take over all his captains, when you eventually go and fight that war chief, you can then give a command, and his bodyguards will then backstab him. And at that point, you can either watch and like you can interfere yourself, but in like an attack as well and help them, or you can just see how it plays out and then kill whoever's left, or maybe your guys win, and one of your guys will then replace that war chief. Basically, whoever gets a killing blow on the war chief becomes the new war chief.
That's pretty cool. It's definitely a game that I wanted to pick up, but I just knew I wasn't going to have time over the last couple of weeks. But I think it'll be quite nice, actually, because it'll probably drop down in price by the time I pick it up.
Yeah, but no, it's good. I totally recommend going into your map and looking at all the different orcs and just playing with them. It's just really good fun.
Cool.
Fantastic game.
So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by the good people at UK2. Sorry, I'm just waiting for that to actually...
One of the orc's motive was beating a dead horse. Randomly.
As you do?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that popped in my head. I apologise.
I'm just trying to find the shot that... There we go. That's what I was looking for. Right, okay, I can't do that. I'm going to have to get rid of you guys and me as well. UK2. I can't have you guys on the screen when I'm doing the advert read. The awesome people over at UK2, they're absolutely superb. They provide all the bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network. All of our shows dating back to the very beginning. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I put on the Facebook page the actual first... Well, it's technically the second episode of the British Tech Network's Gamer Show, because the first episode never ever went live. I probably still got that file somewhere, but it was the first time we'd ever done it. So you can go back and listen to the first episode of the Gamer Show. And that's because the fantastic people at UK2 keep all that content and keep it available for us for as long as it needs to be. If you need any kind of web services such as web hosting, domain names, email, anything like that, VPNs, VPSs, anything like that, please head on over to UK2. You go to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link and then click on UK2, and that just lets UK2 know that we sent you. From the sponsors page on British Tech Network, you'll see a whole bunch of voucher codes that you can type in to get all sorts of awesome cash off all of your different stuff. And the other thing I just want to mention just before we close up the show here is the network union. If you work with an IT at a large company, they can help you with BT, MPLS, WAN, SIP and Ethernet connectivity. Whether you are new to BT, or an existing BT client, you can choose to engage BT via Network Union. Existing clients, nothing changes. Same contracts and support, but you can change your account management to Network Union, resign your contract to a different area of BT. If you're an SME with business broadband, they can check for fibre upgrades, call packages, even BT Office 365 and Everything Everywhere Mobile bundled together for savings, or happy to deal with new inquiries. And for US listeners, Network Union are agents for MasterG. I always get that wrong. I always say Master G, but it's Master G. Headquartered in Dallas, Master G have a fantastic global MPLS WAN network. Any IT managers out there in the US using MPLS also heads up the Network Union and the sponsors page, because they can put you in touch with some fantastic resources. And if you yourself don't have use for Network Union right now, but you want to pass on the name to another organization that might be able to take a hold of their services, please let Network Union know that you've passed on their name. You don't have to tell them who it is or anything like that. Just, you know, if you happen to be in an organization and they're having some problems with BT or something like that, and you just want to pass on their name, please pass on their name and then drop them an email just to say that you heard it on British Tech Network, just to let them know that the word is getting out there. I'm now going to have to spend a couple of seconds just trying to get all the studio back to normal again, and we're back. So that's basically our show. Now, normally we would play one of the games that you guys had recommended, but what we decided we're going to try and do is we're going to actually record those games and release those as a separate podcast if you're interested in watching a little bit more long form, so that we can you can actually see what's happening on them instead of us just very quickly kind of going, yeah, those were rubbish.
We were bored of it, you were bored of it.
Yeah. So we've basically just decided to cut this section out at the end. So essentially that's the show. We've just got a couple more kind of public service announcements to let you know. The Bash, the Gamer Bash, the Northern Bash, whichever you want to call it, is happening on the 6th of December. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com...
I thought we cancelled it.
No. Head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click... you'll see the banner there, an expertly designed banner by Mr. Grant Chisholm himself, or Chiz, as many of you know him. That'll give you all the information that you need to know and how to get on. So there's the British Tech Network banner there. And if you very simply go in to buy tickets, you could just go in there at £5 a ticket. That's basically cover the cost of the hall. And if you want to find out more, that tells you all sorts of information about where is it, when is it, where you can stay, how do you get there, by car, by train, by plane.
Chiz and I are doing hand-drawn tickets for £3.50. We're undercutting. If you contact us directly, yeah, the cash does not definitely go into our bank account, I promise.
So we are. It's £5 a ticket. Bring your own bottle, and not like the Southern Bash. You just bring whatever you want to drink. 6th of December, 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. And what we'll do is we'll get a curry delivered at some point during the evening, and then we'll just split the bill for everybody that's there. We're going to have PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Wii U. We're going to have just Mario Kart going, probably a bit of Halo or something like that. We're also going to have some kind of retro consoles for playing.
Probably
as well.
Probably mainly Halo and Mario Kart. Mainly yeah, Halo.
Mainly Halo and Mario Kart.
By the time we set up and get going, we probably won't have much time to play. Many other things.
Mud
wrestling.
Puzzle Me Muddler wrestling. There'll just be booze going all day. We're going to do the gamer quiz. I'm going to try and level the playing field even further this year. I've got a plan. I'm going to see how that works.
Elevator fighting.
Elevator fighting.
Which is a new game I've made up, which basically, when you enter a lift on the top or bottom floor, if you're traveling more than five floors, you have to instigate a fight with whoever's in the lift with you. And even if you're losing, you can still win it by the time the door opens, you have to pretend nothing's happened. If you pull that off better, you win.
Very good.
So you could have a broken arm, broken nose, but if you kind of like, anyway, it was good talking to you. Goodbye.
Okay,
yep.
So that's the Northern Bash.
A game for gentlemen.
That's the Northern Bash. And
kindly hold my monocle.
Finally, if you want to get in touch with us, email britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, Twitter BritishTech, so that's @BritishTech on Twitter, or @PaulWheatley if you want to follow me directly. Our Facebook page is very active. If you want to head over there, just search for the Gamer Show
send
on the Facebook
abuse.
Page. And send us abuse, exactly. The Google Plus page, you can go over there and keep our friend Daniel Luck company, because him and Chris Cameron are the only two people that seem to hang out on our Google Plus page. But if you want to head over there, that's great. Now and again, we visit that and we might see some comments now and again that you leave. But that's basically us. Guys, do you have anything you want to add to the end just before we close the show off?
No.
Yoga is evil.
Grand. Spoken like the oracle that he is. That's us. We will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Tra.
Don't do it. Turns your spunk black.